Hey guys, welcome back to Open Language. This is Adam.
And this is Connor.
And today we are talking about one of our compatriots. Oh, Canada. This is the famous professor of linguistics at Harvard University, Steven Pinker.
Yes, he's one of our favorite and maybe the most and maybe the smartest Canadian.
Well, you know, besides us, of
besides
course.
Us, yeah.
He definitely has the coolest hair.
Yes, if you've seen him, you won't forget his hair.
You won't forget it. I mean, he's getting pretty old now, so he kind of has this, like, Einstein look.
Yeah.
But when he was younger, I remember people talking about his rock star hair.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's, maybe it's, like, intentional. It makes him look smarter.
Maybe, maybe.
Kind of like the way pianists do that for, you know, their concerts.
They
look a lot more emotional.
Okay, well, in any case, Steven Pinker has written many books. He has talked about many, many subjects, not just linguistics, but that is kind of his bread and butter, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So today we are talking about style in the 21st century.
Oh, style, like fashion style?
Like fashion style. This is like writing style.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
And because this is a huge topic, basically what we are going to focus on today is what he calls the language war.
Oh, it's a war. It's a battle.
It's a battle. It, well, is a battle. Right? I mean, it's a battle of meaning, mm-hmm. and it's a battle of grammar.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to break this battle down into two parts, and let's just see how the first part plays out.
All right.
On the one side, there are the prescriptivists who prescribe how people ought to speak and write. To obey them is to uphold standards of excellence. To flout them is to dumb down literate culture, degrade the language, and hasten the decline of civilization. Now, according to the scenario, on the other hand side, we have the descriptivists who describe how people do speak and write, according to whom rules of usage are just the secret handshake of the ruling class, and the people should be liberated to write however they please.
Okay, so of course, a war must have two sides, mm-hmm. at least two sides.
Mm-hmm, yes, and he wastes no time in introducing the first side, the prescriptivists.
The prescriptivists. Okay, so here the keyword is prescribe.
Mm-hmm, yeah, if you've ever gone to the doctor, he gives you a prescription.
Right. Now, it's funny because we do say, like, you can say prescription, you can say prescription.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the spelling doesn't change.
Exactly, right?
It's
exactly.
always going to be P-R-E. Now, the whole thing about these guys is these are the people that tell you what to say.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't end your sentence with a preposition.
Yeah, just like the doctor tells you what medicine to take.
Yes, exactly. So to obey these people is to uphold standards of excellence.
Oh, now this is a really great word to uphold. It's like keep it high, this sort of this principle or a rule or something, right?
Right, yeah. Like, yeah, you uphold truth, uphold honor,
yeah.
uphold justice.
Oh, like police officers have to uphold the law.
Uphold the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a really, you know, like, I want to say deep, but I mean, this is, it's very abstract,
mm-hmm.
but it's dealing with the good stuff.
Yeah, the real values, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, there's something else here that has to do with values and rules, and mm-hmm. that is the word flout.
Right, so flout here means to not obey a rule.
Right, and specifically when we talk about linguistics,
mm-hmm.
this word comes up a lot because
mm-hmm.
a lot of these linguistics professors are prescriptivists.
Yes,
they
yes.
do say, you know, here are the set of rules,
mm-hmm.
this is what you have to follow,
mm-hmm.
and if you're not following those rules, you are flouting those rules.
Yeah, don't flout them. It's kind of like you're intentional about it, too.
Yes.
In
yeah.
a way.
Yeah. And the idea here is that if you are flouting things,
mm-hmm.
you are dumbing down literate culture.
Yeah, so dumb down. If you dumb something down, it means you're making it easier to understand, right?
For everyone.
For everyone. But in this case, it's kind of too easy.
Well, yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
so we have two sides of it here. Sometimes
yeah.
you will say, like, hey, man, can you dumb that down a bit for me?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of a modest way of saying,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
But in this case, you know, even literate culture is something
mm-hmm.
that they are trying to uphold here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't want to degrade the language.
Yes. Okay. So we've seen this word a lot, especially around the sexual harassment
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
We used it as degrading.
Degrading,
right?
Yeah.
As an
mm-hmm.
adjective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here, we're talking about about the verb mm-hmm. to degrade something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just means to decrease the quality of something or the value.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to the word Connor said before, which was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you know, you can degrade, I guess we could degrade the language every time we say like, yo, man, what's up?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But like, the idea is that we have to mean to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly.
Now, what other problem do these prescriptivists foresee?
They foresee the decline of civilization coming faster and faster.
Faster and faster. And we have a word for that, don't we?
Yes, hasten.
To hasten something just to means to make it faster.
Yeah, exactly. And just be careful of the pronunciation. It's spelled H-A-S-T-E-N. But we don't say the T, do we?
We don't. Hasten. Hasten the decline. And again, this is used in pretty formal contexts, right? You wouldn't say like, hasten your lunch break.
Right.
Or like, hey, Connor, can we hasten this recording? You know, I'm getting hungry.
I'll do that with haste.
With haste. Ah, but haste makes waste, my friend. Do not forget.
So we've learned about the prescriptivists. Oh, that's a mouthful.
Yes.
Now it's time to see the other side, the descriptivists.
Descriptivists. Mm-hmm. Okay. So these are basically the people that they don't prescribe anything. Mm-hmm. They just describe.
Yeah. It looks like a fancy word, but it's pretty simple, isn't it?
Right. And so these are the kind of people that they're not going to tell you how to speak. Mm-hmm. They are just going to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. They'll just describe how people do speak.
Right. And one thing that's cool here is the way that, according to Pinker, the descriptivists see the prescriptivists.
Yeah, they see them as kind of a ruling class.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
The rules of grammar, the rules of style are the secret handshake of the ruling class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, secret handshake. So, I mean, I didn't do this so much, but a lot of kids do this. It's like to show who's your friend or kind of develop relationships, kind of like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it can also be like secret clubs.
Mm-hmm, for
you
sure.
Know? Like the only way you can get into this club or this group or this meeting is if you know the secret handshake.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so it's like this code they have for the ruling class. So that's just like the leaders, the upper echelons of society.
Right. Now, of course, in stark contrast to the leaders or the upper echelons, there are always the people.
Yeah, like in a dictatorship, the people need to be liberated.
Liberated. Okay, so we always get this question, what is the difference between freedom and liberty?
Yeah, I saw this question recently. To me, it's like freedom is just kind of a more casual word. And in this case, I mean, you maybe could say should be freed, but liberated is more like a larger level government, from a...
Yeah, well, with freed, like I tend to think about like people, like animal rights activists would like sneak onto the farm and open all of the chicken cages set the chickens free. Liberated is more about like people, like know, you are free to make your own decisions. You are free. Hey, I was just thinking, in China you guys have the PLA, the People's Liberation Army. So there you go, there's the liberate right
there. It is right there.
Okay, so basically this first part has been Pinker setting up the two sides of this war, right? The people that insist you must follow these rules, and the other people that think, you know, the rules maybe aren't so important. Maybe what we should focus on is the words that people are actually using.
Mm-hmm. And let's take a listen to the next part where we'll hear a little bit about Pinker's own opinions.
All right.
I think we need a more sophisticated way of thinking about usage. So what are rules of usage? Where do they come from? They're certainly not logical truths that you could prove in the propositional calculus, and nor are they officially regulated by dictionaries. Unlike the rules of traffic or laws authorizing currency, though, the rules of language are tacit. They emerge as a rough consensus within a community of careful writers without explicit deliberation, agreement, or legislation. And the conventions evolve. As I mentioned in the case of to finalize and to contact, they organically change over time.
Okay, not surprisingly, don't forget here, guys, Steven Pinker is an academic. There are always academic debates between one side and the other side.
Yeah.
And one thing that they often do is say, you know, you guys aren't right over here and you guys aren't right over there. Mm-hmm. What we need is a new way. What we need is a more sophisticated way.
Right, exactly. It just means like intelligent and complicated and like cultured.
Yeah, cultured mm-hmm. comes mm-hmm. to mind, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. A person can dress, you mm-hmm. know, in a very sophisticated way. You can speak in a sophisticated way.
Yes,
if you,
for sure.
If you speak like this, you don't sound all that sophisticated.
Right, but if you drink nice fine wines and talk like this in a wonderful English accent.
Oh, yes, yes, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, that's just like, it brings to mind a certain level of sophistication.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But going back to what you said about complicated, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I think that's more of what Pinker's getting at here. Mm-hmm. He's saying it's too simple to break this down into an argument between these prescriptivists and the descriptivists.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of gray area in life, and this is one of those things. He says these rules of usage, they're not logical truths.
Okay, so a logical truth is something that you can prove by reasoning. You don't need evidence.
Right, and that's objective.
It's objective, mm-hmm. right? So, here's a good one. I like this one. This is all men are mortal.
Oh, all men are mortal.
That's the first premise. The second premise, Socrates is a man.
Ah.
Therefore, Socrates is mortal.
Oh, like if A, then B.
If A, then B, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it follows from this. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with language is it never follows those patterns. You guys always know that, like, for example, my cousin's kid the other day said, I throwed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no logical reason why we say threw up. It's a historical reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not arbitrary, but it doesn't follow some logic.
Right, exactly. And people have tried to design languages, you know, entirely based around logical truths or just logic.
Right, yeah.
But it never really works.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Always breaks down.
Yeah, it's not like he says here. It's not some propositional calculus.
Right, so calculus can be a bunch of different things. It's the study of acceleration.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a math. I mean, it's a part of math. You guys, we do it in high school. You guys probably do it in grade 3.
Probably. I did it in grade 12, but I used my calculator most of the time.
Most of the time. But I mean, like the concepts, you know, of, I mean, even pre-calculus of like algebra.
Yeah, algebra. And, yeah.
Trigonometry.
Yeah.
And these things. So, I mean, that's a subject. But calculus can also just kind of be like the way you calculate something, that you reason through something.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So he's basically saying that, you know, this is not what language is.
Mm-hmm. It's not some regulated system or something that's all fitting together like a calculator.
Like a calculator, or we could say like clockwork,
like
it doesn't
clockwork.
Kind of run together mm-hmm. in this perfectly mechanical way, mm-hmm. nor is it officially regulated by dictionaries.
Yes,
because there's a million dictionaries.
Yeah, and they're all a little bit different.
And they're all a little bit different.
Yeah.
They're going to say that, oh, you know, that this way of saying something is okay, that mm-hmm. way is not okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, language doesn't come from a dictionary.
Right. Now, he does also say that unlike rules of traffic or laws authorizing currency, the rules of language are tacit.
Tacit. So they're all understood. We all kind of know them, but we don't have to say and make it official.
Right, exactly. So, like, traffic rules, you know, if you don't tell anybody what that red sign means, they're not going to know.
Yeah, it's very explicit.
Right.
Yeah. But in the case of language, it's kind of like tacit. We all kind of tacitly agree.
We agree. Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, there are those little times where we don't necessarily agree. Like there are those grammar Nazis, you know, will have this point. Don't end your sentence with a preposition.
Yeah. Adam, what are you thinking of?
Oh, there you go. It should be of what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is dumb, right? Like, nobody speaks like that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if we ever get around to making a part two of this, we will talk about that. It's one of the examples Pinker likes to use of, like, some of these prescriptivists are just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So that's not how language works. Mm. The grammar, it emerges as kind of more of a consensus, right?
Yes, exactly. So a consensus is where we all agree, or more realistically where enough of us agree that we can move forward.
It's like, all right, enough of us agree. Let's go on to the next one now.
It's not, I mean, again, it's it should be everybody agreeing, mm-hmm. but there will always be those, you know, grammar Nazis.
Those outliers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So a consensus is usually it's enough people that you can make a decision together.
Yeah, and one of the things, like with language, as he says, you don't need this explicit deliberation.
Right, unlike law. Laws, right, mm-hmm, where here we have to actually get all of the lawmakers, the legislators mm-hmm. to sit down together and talk about the law, talk about the effects of the law. Mm-hmm.
And then the president has to sign it.
Has to sign it, right? But that's deliberating. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, you know, it's not to say that an individual writer won't deliberate. Mm-hmm. Like maybe going back to that example of not being able to end your sentence with a preposition. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you've really carefully thought about this sentence, mm-hmm. but the only way you can make it work is to make it end with a preposition.
For sure. And that happens all the time. And we kind of, as a group, we sort of adapt and we sort of evolve, right?
And speaking of evolve, yes, our conventions also evolve.
Yes, for sure. So just conventions here, it's not a conference.
Right.
It's like a tradition, right?
It is more like a tradition. Mm-hmm. For example, did you know, Connor, that the Prime Minister, the leader of Canada, is not explicitly mentioned in our Constitution?
That's interesting. I did not know
that. That's right. That position is just a matter of convention that he or she is the leader of Canada.
He's the Prime Minister.
He's the Prime Minister.
Yeah, but he's not like the top guy. Well, the Queen is the top.
The Queen is the top guy. The top lady. Yeah, exactly. So conventions, I mean, you even see like the prefix of this word, C-O-N, mm-hmm. with consensus.
Yes.
It's the same thing. I mean, it does mean we're together. Mm-hmm. We have agreed on this tradition.
Yeah.
And we are moving forward.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. And the key point here about this moving forward mm-hmm. is these changes happen organically.
Oh, yeah. They're so organic. Yeah. So it happened naturally, right?
Yeah. I mean, you guys probably know by now I don't like the word naturally. I kind of don't like the word organically either. The problem is there aren't better words mm-hmm. to replace them with mm-hmm. which to replace them.
Oh yeah. No, they're very descriptive words, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, again, we're talking about these, you know, like dictionary overlords saying, you can't do this, mm-hmm. you can't do that.
Yeah.
If they make a decision, that's not, you know, that's not organic. Organic is supposed to be,
like,
you know,
on the spot. It happens sort of naturally.
Well, like, you know, from the bottom up, we would say.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
From the bottom up.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I know my logical truths correctly, it's that if this, then that.
Okay, or this follows that, this follows that.
And in this case, we are going to follow the lesson with another listen to the dialogue.
All right, sounds logical.
On the one side, there are the prescriptivists who prescribe how people ought to speak and write. To obey them is to uphold standards of excellence. To flout them is to dumb down literate culture, degrade the language, and hasten the decline of civilization. Now, according to the scenario, on the other hand side, we have the descriptivists who describe how people do speak and write, according to whom rules of usage are just the secret handshake of the ruling class, and the people should be liberated to write however they please. I think we need a more sophisticated way of thinking about usage. So what are rules of usage? Where do they come from? They're certainly not logical truth that you could prove in the propositional calculus, and nor are they officially regulated by dictionaries. Unlike the rules of traffic or laws authorizing currency, though, the rules of language are tacit. They emerge as a rough consensus within a community of careful writers without explicit deliberation, agreement, or legislation. And the conventions evolve. As I mentioned in the case of to finalize and to contact, they organically change over time.
Okay, guys, we have spent the better part of today's lesson listening to the very famous, the very revered Steven Pinker.
Right. He was even on the top five top thinkers in the world, I think, at one point.
Yeah, he's a pretty bright guy. Mm-hmm. I, again, have followed him for many years. Mm-hmm. It's kind of tough to, you know, like use his YouTube videos mm-hmm. as fodder for lessons.
Yeah.
But we really just wanted to focus on this battle. Because, right. I mean, a lot of the questions you guys ask us are grammar questions, mm-hmm, which, mm-hmm. you know, as we've talked about, there's certain conventions that you don't want to flout here.
Right, yes.
But a lot of these questions are stylistic. They're not grammatical.
Yeah, you have to be more sophisticated with them, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm. So I want you guys to pay attention to that, you know, as you're going forward, especially with these advanced lessons. Mm-hmm. Like, you just want to keep in mind that you can choose, mm-hmm. right? You are liberated.
Yes, you are.
You know, English has set you free, and mm-hmm. you can make these choices for yourself. Certain rules you do want to listen to. Mm-hmm. Now, which rules, maybe you're wondering? Well, that is something we are going to focus more on in part two.
All right. So we look forward to seeing all your comments about this. There's some pretty big words here in this one. And we look forward to helping you guys out with all your questions. So we'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye, guys.